From the DLC Media News Center, this is Focus on the Community, a weekly public affairs program produced by the DLC Media News Center. This week's host is Frank Phillips.
Hi, everybody. We're glad to be here today. We're sitting in for Dave Crooks, and I appreciate this opportunity. I especially appreciate our guest today, Larry Moss. I've known Larry for several years now, and I can say without any qualification that I cannot think of anyone better to be president of the county council than you are, with your background in finances and so forth. You're the money man. You know what's going on.
Well, I'm supposed to know what's going on. Most of the time I do, I think.
Yeah, I think so. How long have you been on the county council?
Well, it's hard to believe, because I remember when I first was elected, I thought this is going to be 4 to 8 years and I'll be out. But I was actually first elected, took office January of 2003. So here we are in 2023, 20 years down the road.
Well, that's fantastic. That's great. I have not been around covering county council that long, so I really didn't know. Tell us a little bit about your background. I mentioned that you are quite experienced with finances. I know a little bit about your business, but not very much.
Well, I'm from Clay City, graduate of Clay City High School, proudly can say that, and I actually have my original degree and background was in agribusiness. I worked for 13 years in agribusiness and worked for a large national livestock company, Purina, most people know, and they were going to move me to Boise, Idaho in 1996 and changed careers at that point, went back and got some additional education and trained myself in financial planning. I've been a certified financial planner for several years, and I've been in the financial industry for 27 years.
That's fantastic, and I know you have clients just all over the place.
I have clients in, obviously, Indiana, Illinois, Florida, North Carolina, Idaho, California, Arizona. So, yeah, I have a lot of clients all over the place. You're right.
That's terrific. So you stay so busy, and I know your business keeps you busy. Why did you decide to run for county council initially?
I have always been someone who felt like I needed to give back to my community and be involved in the community. I have four children, married to my lovely wife, Claudia, since 1983, 39. This will be 40 years this year. And she was my high school sweetheart, so we've been together for a long time. But raised all my four kids, are all grown now, and now have 9 grandchildren with number 10 and 11 on the way, and I really felt like it was important to give back to my community and try to either preserve or make a better place for my kids to grow up and my grandkids now, and many of them are still in the community, and so I'm very fortunate from that standpoint. But and I just wanted to make, you know, Clay County just as good a place to live as we possibly could.
That's fantastic. That's great. I think something you touched on there is so important, and it's pretty common among local elected officials, and that is a desire to give back to the community, because unless you attend the meetings regularly, unless you're in contact with the local elected officials and in Clay County, you don't realize how much dedication it takes, how much research it takes, how much work you guys do to carry out your jobs, and that's wonderful.
It's a learning process. You know, when people first get elected to county council, they're overwhelmed. I mean, there's just almost without exception. And quite honestly, for any elected office on the local level, many of them require skills that maybe they've never had to use in the past. And so there's a big learning curve in the beginning. And if I would go back and compare when I started to what I knew then to what I know today, it's been a long journey, but I think we've done a good job. And when I look back, when I first started, I remember had some great fellow council people that taught me a lot of things at the time, from both sides of the aisle, you might say. We don't really, honestly, politics don't play a big role in the local level here, at least, and we don't have a lot of big political arguments, but. You know, one of my good friends and one of the people I've learned a lot from was former Councilman Mike McCullough, and he and I are still friends. And you know, when we started, we were fighting over trying to preserve $250,000 to $500,000 cash balances in our general fund. And today that cash balance is about $3.5 million. So we've come a long way since those days.
Yeah, I know that the county is in good financial standing right now. Would you like to talk about that?
Well, we are, from a financial standing point, we're probably one of the higher rated counties as far as just the way that, you know, you would, if a bank were rating you, and the way that we get rated by the rating agencies, and we're considered a very, you know, we're a, we were AAA, we're AA, and the only reason we went down is just because of income projections from the state. Really has nothing to do with us necessarily. But we're as close to the top as you can get without being the absolute top, and we had been for just the last few years. So,
yeah. You're talking about, did you say cash balance of $3.5 million? Is that what you said?
Yeah, we have. That's the general fund. Yeah. We actually have a rainy day fund as well. It's not counted in that number. We try to maintain at least a 15% cash balance in every one of our accounts. And so that does not include those. And we, up until just a few years ago, really never achieved that very often. But we're pretty close now across the board.
Yeah. Well, as they say, a million here, a million there. Before long, you're talking real money. And I've always been amazed that more people don't attend the county council meetings. There's not more attention paid to what county council does. Let's talk for a few minutes about how county council fits into the government as a whole. I want to say the scheme of government. That's probably not a good word to use.
Structure.
Thank you.
Yeah, we are the purse strings. We hold the purse strings. So I teasingly tell the commissioners they're the most powerful politicians in the county, except we control the purse strings. And so, you know, they are the ones that do the daily management of all facilities, of, you know, the main really daily work that goes on in the county. And that, and by the way, not including a 24-hour day sheriff's department and, you know, the jail and so forth, because those people work more than any of us. They come to us with ideas sometimes. Sometimes we go to them with ideas, and that we basically just try to figure out if we're going to do this, if it's good for the county, and if it's good for the county, can we finance it?
Yeah, I know the commissioners and the county council work together very well, and that's a great thing. What would you say to someone who is thinking, well, you know, I might run for public office sometime. I'd like to do like Larry does and give back to my community. What would be your advice to them?
Well, I have made it fairly clear that this is my last term. I'm not going to run for re-election, which I was just re-elected. So there's definitely going to be some opportunities. And the biggest thing that I would say is don't run for it just to fill a seat. Run for it to do something. And, you know, I'm kind of the grab the bull by the horns type. And go in, find somebody who can help you and help you understand. You know, I sometimes read, and even like, well, you know, we had a political forum back during the last election cycle, and I heard people say things. It's like, well, you can't do that in your position because they don't understand what the office is. Mm-hmm. And so I think the biggest thing I would do is go out and figure out, first of all, what office is it and what do I do in that job?
Right.
And so make sure that you're well informed. And the other thing is, come to the meetings. We had several people run for both commissioner and county council this last election term that had never been to a county council or commissioner's meeting. And I do not understand that. The first thing that I did when I ran originally was start attending the meetings, so I knew what was going on. And so get involved from that standpoint. Come to the meetings, find out what's going on, understand what you can do. The county council has limitations. We're not the commissioners. You know, I have people call me all the time saying, hey, my road needs fixed. Well, you need to call, you know, Paul Senders or Marty Hefner or Brian Allender, because that's not what I do. Yeah. Now, I can help them, you know, find the source of budgeting for it. But typically by the, you know, beginning of the year, they have their money and their marching orders, and they know how much they can spend. So they're the ones that really have to be approached by that. But if you want to know about tax rates and how those things affect you, you go to the county council, because that is a very important part of what we do, is we do control the tax rates.
One of the things that comes up at, well, I'll just say regularly at the county council meetings, are called additional appropriations. Mm-hmm. And I think I have a little bit of an idea of what that's about, but can you kind of fill me in?
Yeah, every year we're required to get a budget to the state of Indiana, to the State Board of Accounts, where they approve to make sure that we're not spending things on money on things we're not supposed to, and make sure it's in the right categories and all those things. And we have to present that budget. And when that budget is adopted, it's for the most part set in stone. But there are exceptions, because you don't know the things that can change. And so beginning of the year, typically someone will say, hey, we didn't budget enough for this. Or maybe we had a budget over here that we need, and we need to move it into the appropriate budget. People come and ask for additional appropriations. And that's why we carry a cash balance, because the things that are additional are additional expenditures that come out of the cash balance, and they're not in the ledger for the areas in which they were written, what they're asking for. Okay. That makes sense.
Sure. Yeah, absolutely. You talked on this just a little bit, but how would someone decide what office they wanted to run for, which board, which organization within the county they'd like to run for? You've said, you know, attend meetings. Anything else that people can do?
Well, the biggest thing is find an area that you feel like you have at least understanding and expertise in. It's kind of like, you know, people ask me what stocks to buy. I said, well, what do you understand about stocks, and what companies do you know about? And I think that's the same way with a political office. If you're really good at accounting and you're really good at, which I'm not necessarily an accountant, but I understand accounting, or if you're really good at understanding expenditures and finances, well, county council's a good place. Now, if you're really an accountant, maybe you need to run for auditor, because that's basically what the auditor does a lot of. So, you know, just find your area of expertise, or find something you're really passionate about. I think that's true with anything. If you find something you're passionate about, go. If you don't know anything about it, learn about it, because there are resources out there.
Well, I think all of us would like to see more community interest in what the commissioners do and what the county council do, just to name a couple of the boards. Do you have any thoughts on how we can get more people interested in just attending the meetings?
Well, I think community involvement really begins at the grassroots anyway. I think a lot of people who end up running for office are people who maybe they were involved in some sort of a project that either succeeded or didn't succeed. And they feel like they need, you know, I can just tell you that we had a push several years ago, and actually when Marty Heffner first became a commissioner, a push for getting trails. And there was a lot of opposition to that, so it kind of fell to the wayside. You know, I think, I don't know if you noticed that the governor announced a $29 million trail going in basically southeastern Indiana, the old Monon, which the Monon runs through Clay City. A lot of people don't know that, but you know, I think that there still is a need for trails. I mean, our communities, we need in our community more things for the average person to do to be able to sustain our community. But there's a lot of controversy with those things. So I think you need people behind the back, you know, that have a passion for those things and can work out all those details. Because there's no way that a commissioner or a county council person or, you know, one of the elected officials in the courthouse can know everything about everything. And so you need people, there's something you're passionate about, you want to get involved in that level, and then at some point you might see where there's an entry point where, hey, maybe I can run for commissioner or council or whatever that would be able to, you know, to get involved in this other thing. You know, you can't throw the baby out with the bathwater, so I guess what I'm saying by that is you need to have a balance. You can't just say we need to sell everything and do this one thing, but if there's something you're passionate about, you know, I think there's always opportunities for grassroots involvement. And from that, I think sometimes you get motivated to do the other things.
Yeah. Well, when you talk about trails, first of all, people don't like change. You know, we know that. None of us, we always want things to stay the same, and of course they don't. But there's a lot of other factors involved, such as land acquisition and cost to who's going to maintain the trails, who's going to build them, and so forth and so on. So I appreciate what you're saying, because if somebody has a lot of interest, they might be able to overcome those obstacles when it comes to different projects, not just trails, but a lot of things.
I think one of the things that's, I think it's a negative that's happened in government in our country in the last 20, 30 years is we basically have become, we're either going to be totally hands-off and let everything work on its own, or we're going to take the government strong-arm and strong-arm people into doing things that they want. And there's both sides of that. And I don't think the government strong-arming people is the way they should act. On the other hand, I think we need to be able willing to cooperate, but we've become so paralyzed in opposition that sometimes we don't think through the whole thing. And I think we need thoughtful people who care about others, who are not just in it for their own, just what's in it for them. It does not matter what the issue is. At some point in time, if there's any controversy whatsoever, I or the commissioners or somebody are always accused, oh, you guys are getting money under the table, this and that. And it's like, no, I haven't. Why would I do that? You know, and it's because people are so opposed to everything. They don't really consider what is the path, what is the right way to do those types of things. And so what happens is it creates paralysis and nobody does anything.
Do you think that we have the polarization, the political polarization locally that we've seen in Washington? I really wasn't wanting to get into that, but do you see a lot of polarization locally?
We get along better than most. And I think part of it is because we have a community fabric that's very similar in its makeup. I mean, people, I believe Clay County is full of a lot of hardworking people. They have what they have because they've worked hard for it. They have family here. There are attachments. You do get occasionally what I would call maybe some fringe type people that, and interestingly, there's exceptions, but for the most part, they're normally outside influences. They're not really within. I don't think we have the polarization here that many counties or many, really it's state and federal that's really bad about it. But there are counties and cities that way as well. I don't think we have the omen as bad as others, but we also don't want to get that.
And I would agree with what you just said. I've covered local government in several counties around Indiana, and I think that the leaders of Clay County get along better than in a lot of counties. I would certainly agree with that. I wondered if there's anything specific that you'd like to talk about. For example, I know broadband expansion is going strong in the county right now. I know the jail expansion is in the process of being built. Anything in particular you'd like to talk about?
I'll talk about broadband first. Being from the southern end of the county, we definitely need increased access to broadband. I ran a business out of my home for many years, and I still work there from time to time, although I have offices in Bloomington and Bloomfield. But we definitely increase access. The thing that concerns me a little bit is there has been additional funding from the state available. There was an article there in the Brazil Times just recently about, you know, how, you know, the FCC says we have access, and it's like their statistics are just incorrect.
Yeah.
I mean, I pay above the average citizens for my faster internet speed that I have in my home office. But I mean, I can just tell you, I spend like right at $100 a month for that access. And it's 10, you know, megabyte and 1.8 upload and 10 download. I mean, that's compared to, you know, my office in Bloomington where it's over 100. I mean, there's just no comparison. So we definitely have an increased need. And quite honestly, I've always said this about computer technology because I've always had a little bit of a geeky side. When computer technology, when it advances, I think programmers and streamers and all the things, they get lazy and they start just pushing as much through as they can. And what happens with people have lower speeds, it slows them down in comparison to the other. And so we definitely have issues that needs to be addressed. And there's been a significant amount of money spent. I'm afraid, though, the technology is going to pass us by installing, for example, you know, fiber. Fiber is the fastest thing that we have available here now. It's great. I wish I had access to it, which I don't. Mm-hmm. But what, you know, what's going to happen when you have 5 or 6G downloads that are faster than fiber? Nobody's going to want to connect to the fiber, so those people put all that infrastructure in with a lot of money are now sitting there holding a relic of the past. Yeah. And so it's a, I can see both the business side and the consumer side can be harmed in that scenario. So I'm concerned about it. I think we need to make sure that the technology that we're updating to is on the forefront, because we don't want to get caught holding a dinosaur and spending a lot of money to get it.
Well, the fact is that high-speed internet is almost as necessary for families and for business today as automobiles are. I mean,
well, you know, a lot of people say, well, you know, that's just for business people or it's for young people. It's not. You know, as we have an aging society, you take a lot of people now use telemedicine, for example, and they're using streaming where you're actually looking at your doctor through a streaming feed.
Yeah.
And you need access to high-speed internet no matter what age you are.
Right.
So,
okay.
Now, on the jail, I hope people understand the whole jail situation. You know, we have a lawsuit that has been filed against us that, in my opinion, has no merit because they're really not trying to win a lawsuit. They're actually just trying to stop us from accepting any other prisoners but our local prisoners. That's what it's all about. I understand, for example, the ICE program is controversial to some people. But our jail wasn't designed just to hold ICE. We know that we have an issue going forward with housing prisoners. We're starting to run out of space. We got sued in 2000, around 2000, I don't know the exact date, before I was on the council, to build the jail we have. And because of that, it cost us several million dollars more than it needed to, because it then became something we had to do. We had to do it their way. We are in a situation where now, because we do house prisoners for the federal marshals, also there's counties and the state occasionally uses our facilities. They can help us until we need the space, offset the cost of it. And we didn't want to be put in a situation down the road where we had an emergency need for expansion and we're going to have to pay for it all out of, you know, by raising taxes. We wanted to kind of keep our tax rate the same and gradually build it out. And so that's why we did it. The lawsuits that have become involved in the thing, the firm that represents out lawsuits, the largest law firm in the world, they have more lawyers than anybody, and they do it pro bono. So they have a cause, and their cause is that they do not want to put any type of criminal immigrant. These are criminals. These are not just illegal immigrants. They're criminal immigrants. They do not want to put them in facilities, which boggles my mind. When I start out the county council budget hearings every year, I quote the United States Constitution, and that is my rule book. You know, I have one rule book above that, and that's based upon my faith. But besides my faith and the Bible that I believe that the United States Constitution is our rule book. And it says that we're to promote the general welfare of people, but we're to provide a common defense.
Yeah.
And if people don't have the ability and the freedom to be able to work and live and do the things that they do every day, then our freedoms are eroded to the point that we're no longer free.
Right.
And so whether it's here or somewhere, we do need to put criminals in jail. I believe that. Now, some people say, well, we should go about doing it a different way. I'm all for those things. It's kind of like energy. I'm a check the box on all forms person.
Yeah.
You know, but I think that what we have done for the taxpayers of Clay County is provide an opportunity for them to have the freedom they need to be able to work, to be able to choose, to worship, do the things that they want to do in their county with absolute not have to worry about the criminal element. Not that we don't have it. We have a great sheriff's department. We have great people that support us. But we do want to make sure that our county is safe.
Well, a couple of things you mentioned comes to my mind, and that is, first of all, there are always going to be lawsuits. I mean, you don't have to have a basis to file a lawsuit. Anybody can file a lawsuit against anyone or any organization. And second of all, as you did mention, I've seen the statistics that say as time goes on, with or without the ICE prisoners, there's going to be a need for a larger jail. And so can you briefly touch on how the building is coming along?
They've actually started getting the metal that they need to start doing the frame. The jail cells themselves are actually built as a unit. They're off. I don't think they brought them in. I think they're still off site, but they are already built. And so it's moving. It's a matter of fact, the completion date's actually been moved up to approximately February to March of 24. So it's moving very quickly. Okay. And the weather's cooperated with them.
Great. Larry Moss has been our guest today. This is Frank Phillips sitting in for Dave Crooks, and we appreciate you listening.
This has been Focus on the Community, produced by the DLC Media News Center. This program is broadcast Saturday mornings at 6 a.m. on 104.9 WAXI and at 7 a.m. on WAMB The Breeze, 11:30 a.m., 106.9 and 99.5 FM, and on Sunday morning at 6 a.m. on 105.5 The Legend and at 7 a.m. on 92.7 The Rock, WFMB. For a replay of this program or any of the past programs, go to any of our station websites. Thank you for listening to Focus on the Community.